Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 22nd episode of the Feuerstein Fire Soccer Podcast Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein, and I will give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me and other writers at MajorLeagueSoccerTalk.com, a member of the EPL Talk family of websites. Don't forget the EPL Talk and MLS Talk podcasts hosted by Richard Farley. Now, before I start this show, I just want to let you guys know I'm going to thank Ben Rycroft and my friend Dwayne Rollins for allowing me to come on their It's Called Football show that streamed across Canada. Of course, discussing about the Red Bulls and the match against Toronto FC that was at BMO Field this past Saturday. And, of course, discussing other matters within the New York City tri-state area. One of those topics, of course, is the revival of the New York Cosmos. Now, you know, before you guys who are for this revival, that you're ready to call me anti-Cosmos, you don't want me, I don't want to see this come back, blah, blah, blah. You know, you guys just don't know anything about me. You really don't know about my past being involved with the game. You know, when I was a kid, born back in 1973, okay? So I was during the years the Cosmos were playing and the North American Soccer League was up. You know, my parents, my aunt and uncle, took my two cousins and I to Giant Stadium to watch the Cosmos play. My family is originally from Romania. And we saw everyone. You know, growing up in the Bronx, we went to the Cosmos games. And it was great. It was wonderful. You saw Bugs Bunny come out of the tunnel with a big carrot and a soccer ball connected to it. And he's waving hi to the kids. My parents and my aunt and uncle got my cousins and me into the Cosmos Kickers Youth Fan Club. And that included a membership card, a t-shirt with the Cosmos shield on it, and also a ring with a plastic cover over a small version of the Cosmos shield. And those days were fun, they were fantastic, and I still remember them up to this day. It was absolutely fantastic. So, one day, the NASL ended their operations. I asked my dad, how come we're not going to the games anymore? I think this was around, I don't remember the exact year, but around the mid-80s, I think, it ended. And my dad told me what happened. And I felt bad. I felt bad for those players who worked hard. But as the years progressed, I didn't get into soccer anymore. I mean, my best friend was in the AYSO, and you know, whenever I went to visit him, he played those games, and I cheered for him. And that's the only brand of soccer or football I ever had. But then, of course, when the 1994 World Cup came, I went to a couple of games. At the time, I was down in Florida, in the Orlando area, and I went to see one or two World Cup games because back then, many people who bought tickets, either their checks bounced or their credit cards were up. And so I went with a roommate, and it was a great time. And then, of course, the only reason why we got Major League Soccer is because we had, you know, the reason why we had a World Cup because of Major League Soccer, you know, because it was going to be a Division I league, and it was coming in 1996. Now, of course, in the back of my mind, I said to myself, well, if the Cosmos come back, that would be great. But it didn't. Stu Subotnick, who owned the Metro Media Corporation, that was a building across from Route 3 from the Meadowlands Sports Complex, Giant Stadium at the time, named the club after their company, Metro Stars. And that was my club from 1996 on up. This has been my club And during the early years of MLS and during those early years with the Metro Stars, there's always these rumors of the Cosmos coming back. And I said to myself, well, that's great. Let them come back. I mean, I would like to see it. I wanted to see it. But it never happened. Now, of course, someone said to me, well, would you leave the Metro Stars to rejoin to support the Cosmos again? I told them no. I've already made up my mind. And it's nothing against the former players who used to be on that team. It's not, no offense to that Shield or anyone that tries to bring them back. I've already dedicated myself and I've committed myself to supporting the Metro Stars. So there was no way I was going to rejoin the Cosmos. That's how I felt. That's what I wanted. And then as the years progressed, nothing ever came of it. And then you hear once in a while another bunch of rumors popping up. Or if you talk to people, said, listen, I think the Cosmos should come back. I think the Cosmos should be this and that. And if they ever come back, it would be great in New York City and everything. And meanwhile, you hear all this, and it's the same people. It's over and over. And you're thinking to yourself, listen, they're not coming back. You got to stop. And then finally, out of nowhere, this supposed real revival of the Cosmos came up. And it looks like it's going to happen. And I said to myself, all right, it looks like it's going to happen. Finally, let them have it. I've already said to myself, I'm staying with this club. And of course, after 2006 season, or should I say, after the 2005 season, that's my fault, sorry about that, Red Bull Corporation bought the Metro Stars. And, of course, the club is now the New York Red Bulls. And I'm still a supporter of that club. Originally Metro Stars, and now the New York Red Bulls. And we are playing in a stadium that I'm glad to call home. Because, you know, we've been waiting for a stadium like this for a long, long time. But once the official announcement came from that Copa New York City tournament that the Cosmos were coming back, and then you hear everything else that's associated with it, you know what? Good. Good for them. Let them come back. Let's see what happens. They want to start grassroots movement and then become something big? Fine. Go for it. But then, you know, you go through the news on the internet, and of course you have blogs, and a certain blog that popped up, obviously, through Big Soccer, and I do have to say it is Mr. Bill Archer that many people know about his writings. Now, I have to say, you know, I don't agree with everything that Bill Archer writes. I don't agree, you know, but once in a while, you know, you have to sit down there, you have to look at it, you have to read what, you know, what he says. Because let's be honest, he does a fantastic job. And he also researches some of the stuff that, you know, you probably never hear of what's going on. If we were in England right now and you heard something about Jack Warner, who was the head of CONCACAF and all those things, you know, you look it up with him. But now you look up about the gentleman that is running this revival. And his name is Paul Kemsley. And reading these articles, now, you know, they're coming from England. There is, of course, The Observer. There is The Telegraph and The Times. And you hear about all these things that are going on. And I am not a gotcha type of guy. I'm not here to say, you know, I'm pointing my finger out and saying, I got you, I got you, I got you. I have a conscience. I care about this. It's been taken down once, I don't want it taken down again. Because why? Because I care about those former players. Now, they don't need me to defend them. They don't, you know, Pele, Shep Messing, Werner Roth, Franz Beckenbauer, Giorgio Canalia, they don't need me to go in front of them and defend them. They can handle these things all on their own. But I have to say, and I'm being honest here, I don't trust him. Now, if all these financial reports that I read have been fixed and everything is back to normal, everything is fine, there's no more problems with these so-called financial issues, then you know what? I don't have a problem with it. You know, I can change my mind. It's not a big deal. I'm not going to have something shoved. You know, I'm not gonna have something shoved up my butt and be stuck about it. If these problems are fine and nothing else is wrong, then you know what? Congratulations. Go ahead. I'm not gonna bother with it anymore. But anyway, you're not gonna see me go over there and protest this. I'm not gonna go to Queens, and I'm not going to put up a sign saying, you know, kick him off, get him out, I don't want him anymore. But yes, I do have a problem. And I'm hoping that no one else who's involved with this or, you know, gets hurt. I'm hoping no one else has a problem with this and all of a sudden something bad really happens. Do I want this to happen? Look, it would be nice. I want it to happen. I would like to see it. But you know what? Here's the thing. If these articles, one is almost a year old by Rebecca O'Connor on October 20th of 2009, and there's another one that is just over a year and a couple months old by Mr. Nick Mathiason, from The Observer on Sunday, May 24th. And then there's this one article from, you know, from The Telegraph by Graham Rudick this past July 7th about money issues. Money issues. Then how safe is this? And here's the other thing, you know, here's the other thing too. I mean, what happens if the people are involved and it all ends and then they have nothing left to have? What if whatever their involvement is, they lose their money? Well, you know, look, I have a conscience. I'm not here to yell, gotcha, gotcha, haha. I'm not here to make a name for myself when it comes to something like this. Believe me, anything and everything that's precious in this area of New York City, including the Cosmos, I would feel a lot better if certain people fix their problems. And anyway, this would probably be the last time I'm ever going to speak about it because, you know, I just don't want to keep on talking about it. I've already said my piece. And if I get asked about it again, I'll just say something like, you know, I haven't read anything recently, I don't know what's going on, and you know, and that's probably going to be it. I'm sorry if I have a conscience. I'm sorry if I really do care about this subject. I don't want to see anyone get hurt. That's all. But like I said before, if all these problems are fixed, go ahead, do it right, you got my blessing. But other than that, we'll see what happens down the road. And good luck to those people that are going to be involved with this new project. I hope and I pray that it does not fall through.
If you are looking for the latest gear on this past World Cup in South Africa, then the Premier Soccer Shop is the place for you. They have tons of USA jerseys, football club jerseys from Europe, South America, and other national teams. Not only do they have balls and boots, but they will customize your USA jerseys of your favorite players with the official USA numbers and letters from US Soccer. If you're from the New York City, gear at the Premier Soccer Shop, 157 First Street. Call the shop at 201-533-8900 or go online at www.premsoccershop.com. They're on Twitter and Facebook as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have another good show for you tonight. Joining me around 8:30 will be Mr. Blake Compton, a member of the Columbus Crew Supporters Group, NASL segment, recapping Division II soccer, and of course during the Red Bulls hour, or of their 4-1 victory against Toronto FC over at BMO Field. But first, unfortunately, it will be a two-part interview. We had a little bit of a phone issue, but I'll try and make sure the situation will be a smooth transition once I start playing the clips. My first guest, and he couldn't come on with us tonight. He's a very busy guy, but he's a good friend of mine. His name's Christian Dyer, and of course, he is one of the reporters for Major League Soccer's website, MLSsoccer.com. He's going to talk about the USA coaching situation, whether Bob Bradley is going to stay or go, and other moments within Major League Soccer. So, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and please, I hope you enjoy this interview with Christian Dyer of MLS Soccer. You can follow his tweets through Twitter at kdyer1012. Capital K, D-Y-E-R, 1012, or just on the search, Christian Dyer, and that's K-R-I-S-T-I-A-N-D-Y-E-R. My good friend, Christian Dyer.
Daniel Feuerstein here, and I'm very glad to be next to a very good soccer mind in Christian Dyer. Of course, he writes on the Red Bulls for MLS Soccer's website. And Christian, I guess the number one question that's on everyone's mind is Bob Bradley. Do you think he's going to stay with the U.S. national team, or do you think he'll take that position with Aston Villa?
I'm still in a little bit of shock. I've never heard very good mind and my name linked together in the same sentence, so we'll see how this very good mind works out. What a compliment for Bob Bradley to be linked with a club like Aston Villa. I mean, Villa is a big-time club. I had the opportunity to speak with Red Bulls head coach Hans Backe yesterday, and it came up in conversation, and Backe said, you know, Villa is a premier club. They're a massive club. They have large resources. They get some world-class players, and I think it's just a good sign of where U.S. soccer is that somebody like Bob Bradley is being considered for that. We remember after the 2002 World Cup, Bruce Arena saying, I want to go coach in England, I want to coach in Europe. Couldn't get a sniff, couldn't get anything anywhere near the Premier League interest in him. Fast forward 8 years later, and we've got Bob Bradley, who is attracting that kind of interest, who's been linked to a Fulham, who's been linked to other clubs. The primary reason being is that European clubs really liked what they saw from Bradley following the Confederations Cup, especially the win over Spain and the way the United States played against Brazil. He earned an awful lot of respect from the from those performances, mainly because they were overmatched teams in terms of talent, the United States, in both of those matches, the semifinal and the final. But the way that he coached and that he had prepared the team really made the impression. Whether Bradley ends up in the English Premier League, I still think there's going to be somewhat of a bias against American coaches, but this is certainly the next step.
I think finally we're seeing not just our players going to Europe, earning that respect, but now our coaches are finally getting the opportunities. Well, if it does happen, you know, seeing Bob Bradley in England or at least in Europe.
I think this is the next step in the progression. You know, 10 or 15 years ago, we had several American keepers playing at a very high level in England. We had Casey Keller with Leicester. We had Brad Friedel, who made the move to Liverpool and got kind of his real professional start there. Jurgen Sommer was over there. Ian Foyer was over there. We can go on and on about some of the names that were over there. And then the next thing became the field players. We had some defenders. We had some target forwards, kind of those more role player kind. And now we're seeing the midfielders going over, who are the attacking midfielders. And now the next step in that progression is going to be the coaches, the technical directors. You know, we saw Jurgen Klinsmann brought Americans over to help him on the technical side. We know Juan Carlos Osorio isn't necessarily an American, and he's a three-worded dirty word in New York City. But, you know, he is somebody who kind of comes with that American pedigree, his time with the Metro Stars. Certainly he was instrumental with Octavio Zambrano in 2000 as an assistant coach. So we're starting to see them filling those assistant coach ranks. And the next step will be a Bob Bradley to Aston Villa. I think all the U.S. soccer fans need to be hoping for that. And certainly those who hate Bradley should be hoping for that, because then that'll get him out the door a little easier.
And you believe that Jurgen Klinsmann is going to be the next coach for the national team for these upcoming friendlies?
I think that would be the first choice for Sunil Gulati to make, would be Klinsmann. After that, we'd probably be looking at one or two other European-type coaches. Don't know who would be in the mix for something like that, but I think Klinsmann's the clear front runner. I think Klinsmann's been quietly campaigning for it. If you look at his comments about the United States, he was very, I don't know how to say it, but he was reserved in his criticism of the United States national team. Like, he didn't want to burn any bridges with any potential players he might be coaching. So I think Klinsmann's choice number one, but I also think that there might be some U.S. coaches out there that could be looked at. Dominic Kinnear, or Ziggy Schmidt, along that type. And I'm going to throw a dark horse out there. He doesn't have any interest in the job, but Hans Bakke could certainly be somebody who could coach young players and who could do a very good job at it.
Yeah.
Going about Hans Bakke, one of my commenters said, I would like to see Hans Bakke do the U.S. men's national team as well. And I commented that, well, he's only been in MLS for a little over half a year, and I don't think he's ready to go into the national team. I mean, I could be wrong. But he does. You do see the hard work ethic he brings to the Red Bulls every single match, either at home or away.
I think what would be interesting is the fact that the leagues he's oftentimes coached in, Scandinavia, we're talking about Danish, Denmark, Swedish teams, outfits like that, are very much at the level of where the U.S. national team is. The U.S. is kind of in that 12 to 20 sort of FIFA World Cup rankings, which is where you see a lot of those Belgium, you know, Sweden, Denmark kind of countries going in and out. So I think in terms of that, he understands the caliber and the quality of the players. He understands the style of the play. But you really need somebody, which is why I would like to see Bradley stay on as the national team coach for another 4 years. You need somebody who understands the system. And I think that's what you're alluding to, Dan. Someone who understands that we've got an academy for under 17 players. What is a Generation Adidas player? You know, how important is it for these players to be staying at home and playing for their MLS teams in a meaningless friendly? How important the Gold Cup is? You know, 5 years ago when, or I guess about 4 years ago, or maybe 3.5 years ago. Do I hear three?
Four.
Yeah,
I want four.
About 3 to 4 years ago when Bradley put all that emphasis on the Gold Cup, winning the Gold Cup in Chicago and Soldier Field, beating Mexico. It was an outstanding second-half performance by the United States. Everyone kind of said, why are we doing that? Because we sent off a scrub team to Copa America. Only a couple of those players would ever see the field again for the U.S. team. We got bounced in three games. And everyone's saying, well, Copa America's prestigious. We need to win this tournament. We need to show well in it. The U.S., by winning the Gold Cup, goes out and qualifies for the Confederations Cup. The confidence from the Confederations Cup, the experience of playing five very high-level games in South Africa, translated to a top 16 finish in the World Cup this year. So only Bob Bradley is going to get that. Only a guy who coaches within the United States is going to understand winning this Gold Cup is going to translate to the Confederations Cup, and that's going to be an invaluable experience.
Now, I think it's safe to say with these future national team players that are playing in Major League Soccer, obviously I think central defense is going to be number one at the moment, because you've got Omar Gonzalez, who plays for the Galaxy, and obviously Tim Ream, who has been, I would have to say, if it's not Danny Mwanga as Rookie of the Year on the offense,
Tim Ream has to be the number one candidate as a center back on defense.
Oh, without a doubt. Tim Ream has been having an absolutely solid year. I think many Red Bulls fans were hoping that Tim Ream would at least be a Tim Regan, you know, just a solid central defender. And all of a sudden we have a player here who may be the best center back to come into MLS since Carlos Bocanegra. You know, they're both players who are comfortable with the ball at their feet. They're strong in the air. Physically, very similar characteristics between Ream and Bocanegra. What impresses you about Ream is his decision-making ability. I didn't like the decision he made on Saturday on a corner kick. A ball came towards him. He headed it back towards the center of the box when the better option would have been just to play it out of bounds or play it out wide. Toronto then takes an ensuing shot that bangs off the post, and that could have been an early 1-0 lead. So there's still those things that Ream needs to work on. It's unfortunate that he's coming to the league at age 22 and not 19 or 20. He, you know, he's one of those guys who kind of fell through the cracks in terms of the developmental system and in terms of just being able to spot and evaluate talent. But I fully expect him to be in a January national team cap. I fully expect him to get capped for the first time. And I think, you know, he's a player with his poise on the ball plus his one-on-one defending. We haven't seen someone that complete come along in a long time, and he's got the potential to go very far with that skill set.
And finally, other potential players that maybe are not from this country but could be, obviously University of Virginia, Tony Chani. He has shown a lot of promise in that midfield for the Red Bulls.
Oh, absolutely a lot of promise. I think when you look at Tony Chani, you think of two words, man-child. You know, here's somebody who's in that 19, 20, 21 sort of range, and he's got all the tools. Physically, he's built like an NFL linebacker. He can just shed tackles and tacklers. He's so smooth on the ball. When you watch him on the ball is never 6 to 8 inches, more than 6 to 8 inches away from his foot. He controls it very well. Deft touch. On the first goal of the game against Toronto, he controlled a difficult ball, made a difficult pass, laid it off perfectly to Rafa Márquez on that goal. You know, everyone looks at Márquez's goal, and you know it's going to win the Sierra Mist Goal of the Week. And by the way, does anyone actually drink Sierra Mist, or is that just anyway? You know, it's going to win Goal of the Week, but it was a very nice and delicate pass from Chani to Márquez. You know, he's that special kind of player, and while he's made it known that his preference is to play for Cameroon, you don't know what's going to happen in terms of his citizenship, in terms of what he may look at and say, you know what, I have a better chance to play for the United States. Well, we look at Shalvey Joseph, who 8 years ago had a similar option, and what could he have been for the United States? I would make the argument that if you have Shalvey Joseph in the midfield in 2006, you don't lose that game to Ghana. You may tie, it might still get bounced, but you don't lose that game to Ghana. He was that special kind of player, and I think Tony Chani can be that special kind of player for the U.S. as well, and he's certainly going to be a special player for the Red Bulls.
Christian Dyer for MLS Soccer, thank you very much for joining me today, and I know you got a busy schedule, and I enjoy the time.
Well, Dan, always a pleasure. Looking forward to hopefully being on within the next couple weeks as we gear for some MLS playoff action. It's going to be fun. Dan, I got to ask you, no one ever asks you questions. Who is your favorite for the Cup right now? You know, you got a choice, pretty good choice of L.A., Real Salt Lake, Columbus, maybe even your New York Red Bulls.
Well, I can see a final, possibly, Los Angeles and New York. That's the dream final. That's what probably the league wants. And I would mind seeing that myself.
You think that in what's probably going to come down to the Eastern Conference final or final game, that New York could go into Columbus and play them and beat them in a one-off on the road? Considering the way that they played at Columbus Crew Stadium a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, looking pretty horrible.
Well, obviously, unfortunately, the flat performance came in. They looked kind of uninspired once the ball was kicked off in the first half. And they gave up already a goal that shouldn't have been given up in the first place. But, you know, I feel like, you know, when something is on the line and they're ready to go and our defense has looked pretty darn good these last couple of matches, plus Buna Kandul's having a fantastic season, I will say it. I think in a one-off, they will probably go into Columbus and they will probably do the impossible.
I don't think a team in the league has a better spine than the Red Bulls. I mean, right down the middle, they are solid. It would be a very, very good match. It'd be a very good conference final. It'd be a very good MLS Cup final. So let's see what happens. Until proven otherwise, I'd still give the edge to Columbus. They're a team that's done it. They've been there before. But next year's going to be an awfully fun year in MLS.
Yes, it will. Christian Dyer of MLS Soccer.
And that was Christian Dyer from MLS Soccer once again. Once again, a very busy schedule. He couldn't call in tonight. So I was very grateful we were able to get this interview done and have it for you guys. And once again, Christian Dyer is never a loss for words. Always does a fantastic job covering the New York Red Bulls. Coming up in a minute or two, waiting for him to call in. If he doesn't call in, I will be the one to give him a call. Of course, it's Blake Compton. Ladies and gentlemen, it's CONCACAF Champions League time. That's right, CONCACAF Champions League time, midweek matches, and it doesn't really matter if it's in Europe or in South America or even if it's in the CONCACAF. It's Champions League time, and let's see what's going to happen. Last week was pretty good. Last week's matches, the Crew, of course, a 1-0 victory over Municipal of Guatemala. Toronto FC with a 2-0 lead until Cruz Azul pulled one back to make it 2-1. Arabe Unido from Panama. And then, of course, the Seattle Sounders losing down in Honduras to Club Deportivo Marathon. So, unfortunately, those things do happen. And we are trying to see if Mr. Compton is available. Obviously, he's very busy because later tonight on Fox Soccer Channel, you will see Santos Laguna of Mexico. And, of course, at the moment, it's 0-0 between Arabe Unido as they're hosting Canada's Toronto FC. Currently in the 26th minute, it is, and already we're seeing Arabe Unido player down on the pitch. The ball has been cleared. Oh, and he's really hurt. He's really, really, and honestly in pain. So we will see what's going to happen here, if he's going to get stretched off. And, of course, this is week two. This is week two of CONCACAF Champions League group stage. Once again, we're going to have four teams from Major League Soccer, and don't forget the Puerto Rico Islanders, because they do count as well. I believe Mr. Compton has forgotten his time, so we're going to give him a call right now and see if he's available. It's Daniel Feuerstein. Welcome back to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good.
And how is everyone in Columbus doing tonight? You got another big Champions League match in CONCACAF tonight. You're going to be taking on Santos Laguna of Mexico at 10 o'clock on Fox Soccer Channel, Eastern Time. Are you guys ready after such a good performance against Municipal last week?
Yeah, we're hoping for the best result we can get down in Mexico, considering the situation. So,
well,
yeah, we think that our B team should go down there and play for the tie and hope for a win, basically.
Well, as you know, obviously, no American club side has been able to get any victories down south of the border. And I think the one thing I believe is true is that there will be no altitude in Santos Laguna. So I think that's one positive for Columbus right there. But do you really want to see and hope for Columbus to be the first American club to get a victory on Mexican soil?
Yeah, of course. And that'd be amazing. But from last year's CONCACAF champion experience, I think most crew fans are just hoping for a better result than than last year when we played away at Cruz Azul and got demolished, what, 5-0. And I think Chad Marshall had 2 own goals in that game.
Mm.
So, I mean, if we can do better than that this year, Chad Marshall won't be down there. Neither were Guillermo or who else? Danny O'Rourke. All 3 of them are staying back. But, I mean, we have the backups that can do it and win the game. It just comes down to, you know, luck of the draw, really. If we get the bounces that go our way, then maybe we can win this game.
When it comes to soccer or football, bounces coming your way. Now, in league play, you had yourself a destruction over the Colorado Rapids. Yeah, we're up 1-0, and then Pablo Mastroeni with a decent goal equalized that match, and then you just got 2 more, and you took it 3-1. Has it been a little rough now this season? You've had a couple of losses here and there, but you're still maintaining first place in the East and currently second all on the table in league play.
It has been rough, but, I mean, it certainly has not been as rough as some other teams have had it. You know, we've had a quiet, you know, signings this year, not very many players coming that are new, and we have some older guys that have shown their age, and some of the younger guys haven't shown as much promise as we would have expected it. But in the end, we're sitting 1 point ahead of Salt Lake and 3 points away from L.A., who's had a superb season, so we're exactly where we want to be. And, you know, coming down the home stretch, I think out of the 4 teams that are, you know, vying for the Supporters Shield at this point, Dallas included in this, L.A., Salt Lake, and us, we have the easiest schedule by far. And I think we can we win the games we need to win. And when we go to L.A., if we can beat Dallas this Saturday, and when we go to L.A., get a point or 3 out of that, I think we can take the Supporters Shield and more.
Well, that's the idea, obviously, because right now you're right behind them. Obviously, you're just a single win behind L.A. for that permanent spot for that Champions League for next year, obviously. And it's going to be a pretty good race right now. Outside of the crew, you look at the league. Who do you worry at the moment when you're watching?
What team is the scariest team to play against, or just like out there right now?
No, just, you know, which team do you think could give you a problem down the road when you're in the playoffs? Because obviously, at the moment, you're going to have the Crew in first in the East. The New York Red Bulls will be in second, and of course Toronto FC is in third, and that fourth or fifth team might not be in the East unless Chicago pulls out a miracle, because they still have a couple of games left to play. But who in the West will probably, you think, will bother you if you make that playoff push?
I mean, if we're looking at the ones that are pushing for spots, Colorado is in there. I don't know, really. I don't think. If Salt Lake is in one or two, you know, first or second place, then obviously LA is going to be in the other spot. I don't really worry about any other West Coast teams. I mean, Chivas, you know, they did give us a good beating at their place, but I don't think in a 2-game series we're going to have to worry about Chivas. We'll be ready for them. They don't have that good of a team compared to ours. I'd worry more about Salt Lake than anything, that we just don't seem to play well against them. They just seem to have the right role players that counteract our role players. And so I'm not really worried about that fourth spot. It does affect us, though, being, you know, you win your conference, but that means you have to travel the farthest, which doesn't make sense to me. You know, the second and third place teams are almost always East, they're going to be East Coast teams. So, you know, New York and whoever else is going to travel, you know, travel to Toronto. That's not as far as, you know, us traveling all the way to Salt Lake or Colorado or, you know, Chivas in L.A.
Yeah, exactly. I can understand what you're talking about. Going back to the Champions League, obviously you're going to be playing against Santos Laguna tonight, and probably your next match. I'm not sure if you're going to be on the road or not, but you'll be facing Trinidad and Tobago's Joe Public. What do you know about Joe Public, and do you think that could be a bit worrisome if you're going to probably lose points or get a draw?
Yeah, I would say out of the other three teams in our group, that Joe Public's a bit of the dark horse. They just I think they're discounted a lot because they're from the Trinidad and Tobago League, and they they are the champions of that league. They are one of the better teams out of that area. They've been beaten up by some teams, but they've also beaten up some MLS teams, like in 2008 when they blanked New England 4-0, and New England was a pretty good team at that point. I can see us having some trouble with them, but I can also see them beating us. They do have some national team players on their team, so who knows? They do have the experience. Everyone's discounting them as the third or fourth place team in our group, and we're fully able to beat them, capable to beat them, and we should beat them. But yeah, going down there and playing in the situations and how we do it, we travel down to these away games, play the game, and then get out of there. So it is taxing to the players that it's a small window of time of they're not there to settle in and train and get ready for the game. It's just get in, get out. So I think it does affect them on the ability to play in each of these games.
And just out of curiosity, where are you and the rest of the crew supporters that Nordec, I believe, in that nice cozy corner there at Crew Stadium? Where are you guys watching tonight's Champions League match?
I'm at the Hooligans Bar. We opened up a private club this year for the Hudson Street Hooligans, and we're actually watching the Toronto game right now, but it's pretty boring.
That's pretty boring.
And it's it's the whole overall production. Everything just sucks. The sound quality is not good. There's only one camera angle. It's really low. It's Arabi Onido, who is like anti-football. They don't even, they dive constantly. And, it's Toronto. We don't like Toronto. I think you can agree with me there. Like, Toronto sucks.
Yeah, I can bunch of divers, and I mean that was just absolutely disgusting to see a Robbie Unito just at real. Whoever faces this team, I mean, you better put them away early and make sure they even bother to level or equalize the match at all, because it's just gamesmanship is one thing, but that was just way overboard. I just could not believe when I saw that.
I completely agree. That and they're up to their usual antics tonight. And Toronto has, they don't have all their starters out there, but I think they're going to win the game. I just hope that their CONCACAF experience affects them so bad in league play that they just keep dropping points.
Yeah, exactly. So who's your next opponent for the crew after tonight's Champions League match?
We play on Saturday against FC Dallas, and I feel like this game, FC Dallas, and the LA game are the two defining moments at this point in the season on what we're going to do, because Dallas hasn't been beaten in 11 games, and they're a really hot team right now, and Kevin Hartman's playing like he's a young kid again. Early in the season we had them 2-0 or 2-1 down, and late in the game Danny Ork got a red card and we ended up losing tying on a really crappy goal. So we lost some points to them at their place, and I'm sure our players want to make sure we get the 3 points this Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously if you want to keep that hold in the Eastern Conference and that top spot in the playoffs, you got to go down to Pizza Hut Park and try and get 3 points down there, or at least try and get a point if you can. Blake, I know you're getting ready for tonight's Champions League match for the crew. I thank you very much for spending some of the time. Good luck tonight around 10 o'clock channel. Columbus Crew taking on Mexico's Santos Laguna. Blake, good luck to you tonight and good luck with the rest of the season.
Thanks a lot, Daniel. Take care.
No problem. Take care, my friend. All right, bye-bye. Blake Compton, ladies and gentlemen, Hudson Street Hooligans in that nice little corner of Nordec over in Columbus, Ohio. It's going to be a fun time, and if you're curious to know what's going on, first half, 39th minute, Arabe Unido nil, Toronto FC nil. So it's going to be pretty interesting what's going to happen during this match. Toronto FC nearly coughs it up, gives a free opportunity for Arabe Unido, the shot just inside the area and deflected wide by Toronto FC defender. Corner kick currently for Arabe Unido from Panama. Waiting to see if this corner is going to get taken, and it will. And it's a nice drive into the middle of the area, and it's in. Is it in? Yes, it is. 40th goal, Arabe Unido from the far corner. A very good cross, and it was settled down by number 9. Excuse me, not number 9. It was number 3 for Unido, Mr. Fidel Cesar, and it did cross the entire line after he shot it. Fidel Cesar, number 3 for Arabe Unido, gives that club a 1-0 lead. So at the moment, Toronto FC behind on the scoreboard. And once again, Arabe Unido has the lead early in the match. Oh, and a terrible tackle. A reckless tackle from Arabe Unido. Is it yellow or is it red? It's going to be a yellow card. Yellow card for Arabe Unido. As believe it was the defender down. Yep, the ball was already showing another replay. The ball was already over the goal line after Mr. Fidel Cesar settled it and he put it in. But once again, Arabe Unido ahead 1-0 on Toronto FC. And let's go and see what's going to happen, as hopefully these things, it won't be that difficult for Toronto in the second half. 42nd minute currently. Yellow card was shown, I believe, to number 25 of Arabe Unido, Eric Davis. So after we discuss a little bit of CONCACAF Champions League, we go straight soccer. Preki is actually having a conversation with the referee on the match. Probably wanted a red card and not a yellow on that challenge. A match this past Friday, Saturday, between AC St. Louis hosting the Puerto Rico Islanders. The match ended in a 1-1 draw, but they did not play the full 90 minutes. Very interesting. Puerto Rico Islanders down at the end of the soccer park. Once the clock reached the 82nd minute, there was a lightning storm in St. Louis that night. I originally thought the match was in Puerto Rico, but in fact, the match was in St. Louis. They had a lightning storm, suspended the match, waiting for possibly an end to the storm, and it never came. So from that point on, ladies and gentlemen, the match was abandoned, and the result remained at 1-1. And I don't believe they're going to finish the match at all. I believe 82nd minute. I mean, you're getting close to the end of the game, and I guess both sides agreed we'll take the point each, and off we go. So that's what happened. An interesting match, U.S. Soccer, second division. And right now I'm going to give you the standings. what's going on here with U.S. Soccer Second Division in the NASL Conference. First place, Vancouver Whitecaps, 24 matches played, 39 points. Carolina Railhawks, 22 matches played, 31 points. In third place, the Montreal Impact, 24 matches played, 28 points. In Crystal Palace, Baltimore, 24 matches played, 24 points. In fifth place, AC St. Louis with 23 matches played, 22 points. And in last place, once again, Miami FC. Out of 24 matches played, 20 points, 3 wins, 11 ties, and 10 losses. Goal differential, minus 15. In the USL Conference, the Rochester Rhinos have overtaken the Austin Aztecs. 25 matches played, 48 points. Austin Aztecs, like we said, 21 matches played, 44 points. Portland Timbers in 23 matches played, 34 points. In fourth place, the Puerto Rico Islanders, 22 matches played, 29 points. Minnesota Stars, 5 matches played, 28 points. And in last place, Tampa Bay Rowdies, 23 matches played, 27 points, 6 wins, 9 ties, 8 losses. The differential is modest. It's at a plus 1, but once again, scores from last week, Thursday, August 19th. I'm sorry, we have to go back to Wednesday, August 18th. Crystal Palace, Baltimore at home, 0. Rochester Rhinos, 2. Carolina Railhawks, 2. Miami FC, 1. Thursday, August 19th, Tampa Bay Rowdies and the Vancouver Whitecaps, a 1-1 draw. And as we told you before, this was on Friday, August 20th, AC St. Louis and Puerto Rico Islanders. That was a 1-1 draw. The match abandoned after 82 minutes due to a never-ending lightning storm. Saturday, August 21st, Crystal Palace, Baltimore, 0. Montreal Impact, 5. Rochester Rhinos, 3. Miami FC, 1. Minnesota Stars, 0. Portland Timbers, 1. And on Sunday, August 22nd, the Austin Aztecs, 3. Carolina Railhawks, 2. The upcoming matches in U.S. Soccer Second Division. Wednesday, August 25th, Tampa Bay Rowdies at home against the Carolina Railhawks, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and that's at George M. Steinbrenner Field. Thursday, August 26th, the Portland Timbers hosting the Austin Aztecs, and that's at PGE Park. Friday, August 27th, the Montreal Impact hosting Rochester Rhinos at Stade Saputo. Saturday, August 28th, Carolina Railhawks hosting the Puerto Rico Islanders at the Wake Med Soccer Park. And a full schedule, not so much full, but at least 3 solid matches. Sunday, August 29th, 4 p.m. Eastern, Vancouver Whitecaps hosting the Austin Aztecs at Swan Guard Stadium. Tampa Bay Rowdies hosting AC St. Louis at George M. Steinbrenner Field at 6 o'clock. And then finally, Portland Timbers hosting Crystal Palace Baltimore at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, PGE Park. Those are your scores, the upcoming matches, and the standings of U.S. Soccer Division II Pro League. And, of course, we're going to talk about the playoffs. USL Second Division, Richmond Kickers taking on the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. The winner will travel to Charleston, South Carolina, and take on the Battery at Black Blood Stadium. And the match, the one-match playoff, Richmond Kickers hosting and defeating the Pittsburgh Riverhounds by a final of 2-0. And so that means this coming Saturday at Black Bod Stadium, 6 o'clock Eastern, televised on Fox Soccer Channel, Charleston Battery will be hosting the Richmond Kickers, and that should be a fantastic match for the USL Second Division Championship. U.S. Soccer 3rd Division. It should be fun. It should be exciting. And, of course, we're going to see the best out of Charleston and the best out of Richmond going at it with each other. And once again, as we talk about the situation that's been going on about sanctioning what is going on with U.S. Soccer 2nd Division, who will be considered 2nd Division and who will be considered lower division, unless both sides are probably going to stay with U.S. Soccer. I really can't see U.S. Soccer running the 2nd Division League again. I really believe they're just going to be looking for either the USL to once again run 2nd Division or the new body, North American Soccer League, the revamping of it to become 2nd Division status for next year. And, of course, there's a lot of talk going on about who is going to be in 2nd Division and who's going to be in 3rd Division, or rumors of maybe 2nd Division teams are probably going to move down to 3rd Division. We'll see what happens. Obviously, there was rumors stating that Rochester and maybe Austin will be moving down to 3rd Division. Those rumors were founded to be false, thanks to, once again, Brian Korstad of Inside Minnesota Soccer. Go to InsideMinnesotaSoccer.com. Brian Korstad not just does a fantastic job of covering the game in the state of Minnesota, but, of course, following Division II, Division III, professional soccer in the United States. And, you know, I've had him on this show discussing the Open Cup. Would love to have him back on again. Hopefully somewhere down the road we'll try and contact him, Brian Korstad, my good friend Kartik Krishnayer. Hopefully we can bring in two other people, especially my friend Brian Kaiser from Harrisburg, who is part of the City Islanders organization, maybe Mike Bytus from Charleston, because Charleston was affected when this whole problem did start before this upcoming season was underway. So hopefully we can see what's going on. Once again, Brian Korstad, he has the rules from U.S. Soccer to changing everything that's going on with Division II League here in the United States. And, of course, Canada is involved as well. Let's hope that everything is going to be just fine. You know, not to get too much hooked up with the 2nd Division problems, but still it has to be discussed because we need stability in this game. And every time you discuss what's good for the game, once again, the continuing discussion of promotion relegation keeps coming into play. Now, like I've said many times, you know, I am not opposed to it. I would like to see it happen here. It would be interesting. I think it would bring up plenty of shockwaves into the United States. But as I have said many, many times, just right now it's not a good time to bring it in. There's too many owners want to be in Major League Soccer. But the point is the problems with 2nd Division that's been going on, and at the same time, there's a lot of financial problems that's going on too. Because how many times have we seen, you know, some of these clubs that are asked to pay a certain fee to stay in 2nd Division, and if they can't sustain it, then they're forced in the 3rd Division. And if they can't sustain 3rd Division, then they got to go to amateur status in the PDL. And once again, the Premier Development League, and don't get me wrong, I think it's very good that we have this. I think it's actually fantastic that we have this. But I have to say this. When you only have about a combined 12, 13, 14 professional clubs that do make up 2nd and 3rd Division at the moment, Why is it PDL has over 60 to 70 clubs in four conferences, two divisions each? That's more regional than what's going on here. And then when you have someone else that wants to make the move, it's not possible because, you know, you got to pay $750,000 to be in U.S. Soccer second division, or at the time, which was USL first division. So basically, there are plenty of problems that are happening. Hopefully they will be solved, and hopefully second division can be stable in the United States, and we don't have to worry so much about, okay, can this club stay in second division and not disappear? And once again, once we contact Carter Krishnayer, Brian Korstad, try and bring in some other people who are familiar with the situation, you know, we'll have a discussion on it. We're going to spend probably a good half hour discussion on it because I'd like to get serious. I don't want to just throw in 15 minutes and then that's it. It's all over. Have a good discussion. What's going to happen. But, you know, everyone has to understand, if promotion relegation is going to work in this country, everything has to be financially, you know, there's no financial problems. Everyone's got to be in the black, their own stadiums. And it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter how much the capacity is, just as long as the stadiums are there for the game by itself. As long as those stadiums are there for the game, that's all that matters. We've got to get out of the, you know, paying rent to a facility that they don't own, or if it's made for soccer but they don't have the control of it like others would in their own stadiums, then you got to find a way to do that if you can. So other than that, time to talk about a fantastic road match performance from the New York Red Bulls. They traveled up to Canada above the northern border, BMO Field, as Thierry Henry called it. It's a fortress. A 17-match undefeated streak up at BMO Field, and it looked like it was going to be continuing on, as Toronto FC had plenty of chances on the ball, plenty of chances to take. There was an earlier chance, I believe in the 15th minute, maybe around the 20th minute, a free kick just outside the area on the near side. Dwayne De Rosario, instead of bending it in, decided to put it in the mixer, headed away by Tim Ream, but just not enough, and then a long shot came in. I think there was another shot, but Bunakon Duel right there to find a way and makes an excellent save. Originally, Toronto FC thought there was a handball by a defender, but actually it was Kondul who knocked it down and grabbed it to make sure. And then more times, Toronto FC knocking on the door, Kondul there to make the save, or basically shots went wide or high. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, Bunakon Duel having a strong performance and having a strong season at the moment. He's looked very good for the club. And then there was another chance in the 33rd minute for Toronto. They're on an attacking run. Tim Ream once again comes back and he covers his position beautifully. Got his left leg out on the ball to stop the original shot. Rebound long distance. Blocked Mendez, Tim Ream, Carlos Mendez. They just played absolutely fantastic football in the middle of the park. And once again, I think you've heard Christian Dyer saying Tim Ream a possibility of Rookie of the Year candidate, unless Danny Mwanga doesn't steal it from him. But we'll see what happens towards the end of the year. And then, of course, the golazo of the match. The golazo of the match in the 35th minute. Red Bulls on the attack. A shot originally brought in by Thierry Henry was cleared. Sent to, and the rebound was sent over to Tony Chani, who tried to sell the ball. A quick pass to Rafa Marquez, 25 to 30 yards away. And then what happens all of a sudden? Stepped up to the ball. Marquez did one-timer. Beauty of a bender. A golazo. And currently leading in the voting for MLS Goal of the Week. He smacked it, bent inside the near post, upper 90, and it's unbelievable what has happened. The captain of the Mexican national team, the captain of Mexico's national team, comes up big for his first goal in Major League Soccer, and of course his first goal as a member of the New York Red Bulls, and that was in the 35th minute. 6 minutes later, a foul on Dane Richards, free kick to the Red Bulls. Rafa Marquez decides to take it, and he bends the ball, a very good placement of the ball by Rafa Marquez. I'm going to have to get that straightened out later. I apologize for that. Rafa Marquez, excellent placement on where he wants the ball. But give credit to Toronto FC. They defended that ball very well. But unfortunately for Joseph Nani, the ball went off his left leg and it went right past his keeper, Stefan Fry. And that made it an own goal. 2-0 Red Bulls. Fantastic goal by Rafa Marquez. More like bad luck to Joseph Nani, but a very good, well-placed free kick by Rafa Marquez. Beginning of the second half, a little bit of a suspect play. It was Bunakan Dul allowing a goal in the 49th minute to Dwayne De Rosario, and it really, that ball should never have troubled him at all, but unfortunately for Buna, not so much he didn't have a good position on that ball. I think he had a pretty good, his positioning was very good. That wasn't a problem. The problem was the way he tried to defend that ball, because even though the shot was taken, I mean, he leaped in the air and he tried to sit on it and he couldn't, and the ball went right through him. I mean, I just think how he wanted to save the ball was a very bad decision. Just a very, very bad decision. I didn't like how he tried to save the ball. I didn't think it was a good thing for what he did. And it costed the Red Bulls a two-goal lead at the time. And the deficit for Toronto went down to one. And, you know, things were getting nervous. But in the 60th minute, just some foolishness by Nana Atakora. He tried to defend the ball. There was a nice cross by Dane Richards, looking for Thierry Henry in the middle. And then, you know, it's just to see someone intentionally raising their hand to knock the ball down. Just dreadful to see a defender who, you know, you have to know you can't do that in the area. He admitted it on post-game for Toronto FC TV, and of course I took a look at it on their website, and I'd like to see how the other announcers for other clubs, when they play the Red Bulls, either away or here at, or at home, how they announce the matches. And I got to tell you, I forget his last name, but I know his first name is Nigel, does for CBC Sports. He does an excellent job. Whoever covers Toronto FC, whether it be for Goal TV up in Canada, Rogers Sportsnet, Ontario, and even CBC. They do a fantastic job in covering Toronto FC, and it's going to be very interesting to see what's going to happen when the Vancouver Whitecaps come in next year, and maybe, who knows, they're not going to be on RDS, the French language channel, which is considered the sports network in French, if they're going to be in English outside of TFC and Vancouver Whitecaps. We'll see what happens. But besides that, a handball, intentional, and straight red card for Nana Atakora. And rightfully so. You know, he deserved to get sent off on that type of play. You know, and Juan Pablo Angel, Some have said Thierry Henry probably should have taken the spot kick. Angel, the captain, took it. There was no argument whatsoever, and he drilled it. Stefan Fry was able to get a paw on it, but the ball went over the line, bouncing around inside the net. 3-1 Red Bulls for Juan Pablo Angel, his 12th goal of the season. And I believe that is one. I believe that's his third penalty kick goal out of the 12 that he has scored right now. I believe that's his third conversion of a spot kick out of four. If we remember, against FC Dallas, he leveled the match at one early in April, and then he had a spot kick that was stopped by Dario Sala, and then the second attempt inside stoppage time, second half stoppage time, he drilled it the other way and got the match winner. So far for Juan Pablo Angel, 12 goals scored. 3 of the 12 are from the penalty spot. And obviously we can't forget that super-duper free-kick goal against the Houston Dynamo at Red Bull Arena. That was the match winner. And finally, for Carl Robinson, this man is pure class. Carl Robinson, when he came over to North America from the Premiership, former Welsh international, he played 3 hard seasons with Toronto FC, was their defensive midfielder, their holding midfielder. And, of course, they decided to send him to New York. Money issues, I believe it was, and, you know, didn't really get much playing time this year. He's been suffering through a leg injury. He's fully for Rafa Marquez around the 73rd minute, and then all of a sudden, in the 77th minute, corner kick for the Red Bulls, near side corner. It was Carl Robinson who served it into the area, parried away by Stefan Fry. Dane Richards gets the rebound, and he'll cross that ball back into the area. Fry once again parries it away, but the problem for him, Robinson was sneaking into that area. Carl Robinson, after taking the corner, went back into an onside position, curled back into the attack when Dane Richards sent the ball into the area, and it was a header goal for Carl. Good job for Carl. First goal as a member of the Red Bulls. But the celebration, there was none. Pure class from Carl Robinson. Because once he... Fry was upset that it happened. But Carl Robinson, he just got to the end line. He put his left hand over his mouth and just stood there. He then shrugged it to say, I can't believe it happened. I can't believe I scored. You know, I feel relieved, obviously, but you know what? I'm not going to upstage my former team. And right now, quickly, if you want a CONCACAF Champions League report, Oh boy. Nick LaBroca in the 50th minute. You know, he slid into the ball while the keeper for Arabe Unido was going after it. It was not studs up, but it was knees and legs tucked in and slid into the keeper for Arabe Unido. And that gentleman's name coming up, Mr. Jose Calderon. He got, I wouldn't say got the worst of it, a while to just, you know, look to see what happened, and then he covered his face. But still, it was a challenge that should not have been made, and Toronto FC, down a goal, are now down a man. Toronto FC at the moment is in trouble. Mr. Jose Calderon took the brunt of it. I think LaBroca tried to pull out that hard, but then once Mr. Calderon looked up to see where the guy is, then he just basically buried his face into his hands. And he's smiling right now. He just smiled. I think he knows he milked it. You don't really want to say it, but I have to be honest. You know, he knew what happened. Now, you see the replay. Live, listen, Nick LaBroca shouldn't have even made that challenge at all if the ball was too close to Robbie Unido. But still, that tackle shouldn't have been made. He should have at least tried to pull out of it a lot better. And unfortunately, Toronto FC is paying the price, not just down a goal, but now they're down a man. And that was in the 50th minute of this match. One, Toronto FC of Canada, nil. And I'm wondering what Ben Rycroft, Ben Knight, and Dwayne Rollins are going to say on the It's Called Football show later on this week, probably tomorrow or Friday. You know, I really feel bad for LaBroca, but I have to be honest, you know, he should have at least pulled out of that challenge. So right now, Toronto FC are down a man. They are down to 10 men. And, you know, if they can find a way to pull back one before full time, maybe steal a point, we'll see what happens. But right now, it's another uphill battle for Toronto FC. We'll see for Robbie Unido if some of the play acting will stop, and hopefully it's not going to be that severe. But going back to Red Bulls at Toronto FC, it was basically Red Bulls 4, Toronto FC 1, Carl Robinson. Class act once again, decided not to celebrate if he scored a goal. He got a great hand at BMO Field for his time with the club up in Canada. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, strong. I will have to say it was a strong performance from the Red Bulls. Perfect. If you didn't give up the goal to Dwayne De Rosario, then I would have to say it's perfect. Near perfect performance for the Red Bulls for the last 2 weeks, even though they lost to the Galaxy on Saturday, August 14th. But still, I still feel it's a strong performance, near perfect performance for the Red Bulls. And hopefully we will see what's going to happen when they're home at Red Bull Arena this coming Saturday, August 28th. If you can't make it to Red Bull Arena, but you should, you can watch the match on MSG Network. Steve Cangelosi, Shep Messing, and Tina Servacio will be giving you the coverage from the opening minute all the way to full time. And 3 points once again on the line for the Red Bulls to try and catch up to the Columbus Crew, who are currently leading the Eastern Conference by 6 points against second place New York. If you are a big supporter of the New York Red Bulls and you want to get the latest gear for your favorite MLS side, head on down to Hoboken and head on over to the Premier Soccer Shop in Hoboken, New Jersey, at 157 First Street. You want to get your home white Red Bulls jersey customized with your favorite players, like Juan Pablo Angel, Joel Limper, Thierry Henry, Rafa Marquez, Tim Ream, Connor Chin. They will have the official numbers and letters from Major League Soccer to put on the backs of your jerseys. And don't forget to call the shop for your order. They're on the web, www.premsoccershop.com. www.thebestofbaseballshow.com. They are on Facebook and Twitter as well. Going back to the New York Red Bulls, Toronto FC taken down as their 17-match home undefeated streak broke. Fortress BMO Field has now been taken down. A Marquez cannonball, an own goal, penalty to Angel, and then silent revenge by Carl Robinson with a touch of class and dignity. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a pretty good next week, or should I say this coming Saturday, when the San Jose Earthquakes come over, and of course their new DP signing is former Hull City attacker, brought in by John Doyle, general manager and former Quake. Also, Andres Luis, who is a member of San Jose, and of course is from the same club from Brazil as was Giovanni, called him over, told him to come on over. And even though he's not going to be able to play the rest of the season this year with the leg injury, he will be there. And right now, this will be Giovanni's first trip to New York, and obviously, he's probably going to be very excited. That means the attack for San Jose has been bolstered a lot more. It also means that the Earthquakes will be a bit tougher on the road like they are at home. And, of course, if everyone remembers the last match against the Earthquakes at Buckshaw, in all honesty, you know, the Luke Sassano challenge, you know, once that happened, everything fell apart. Even though they had a strong first half till that first goal was scored by San Jose, let's be honest, the second half was complete meltdown. Everyone was just off the page. It was a terrible performance once that first goal was put in near the end of the first half. And if they were probably nil-nil, they'd probably ride the wave and they'd try to keep the point if they could. But a four-goal loss away at San Jose, being down a man the rest of the match, just absolutely dreadful. But once again, this will be San Jose's first trip to Red Bull Arena. Head coach Frank Yallop should be pretty excited about it. I'm sorry. I have the match on. Arabi Unido leading 1-0 on Toronto FC are down to 10 men. Joseph Nani subbed in for Sarek. And then the next guy who's supposed to be subbing in for Toronto FC, instead of handing the substitute paper to the fourth official, who was trying to show everyone who's coming in for Toronto, he decides to shove it, the substitution sheet, into the fourth official's back pocket. That was funny. I like that. My little comedy. Hey, listen, if you don't want my substitute page, I'm going to shove it down your back pocket. Here, take that. So I got to tell you, that was pretty funny there. It didn't last that long, but just enough to have a good laugh. But once again, Toronto FC down a goal. We're in the 61st minute. If there's going to be any goals in this match, I'll let you know as we are live here on Blog Talk Radio for your Scenes Fire. Getting ready, talking about the New York Red Bulls and their next match against San Jose. And it is Dan Gargan who's trying to sub in, and now he does. who shoved the substitution request down the fourth official's back pocket. That was pretty funny. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, Major League Soccer has been around for 15 years. There have been some good moments. There haven't been some good moments. But still, the idea is to get this league growing and make everything possible. I have been on Twitter for a while. And, you know, you follow tweets from some people. And, of course, there is always the main argument of promotion relegation. And, yes, I'm bringing this back up because it does affect everything. It does affect all the things that goes on with a professional soccer league or football league. And, you know, there are some ideas of what should be done and how it should be done. Now, like I said before, I think it is time to get rid of the two conference standings and make everything single table. You can make your playoff positionings much more solid. It's much better if you do that, and you don't have to worry about the permanent whatevers of who makes the playoffs, all cards. I think that has to go. You've got 8 playoff positions in the 16-team table. 1 through 8 automatically makes the playoffs. 9 through 16 is done. And now you're going to have Vancouver and Portland coming in. It's going to be even better. The races will be tighter. And I believe that you don't have to worry about, you know, 14 in 2 matches or 1 match against the West. I think it'll be a lot better. And I always have a mock-up calendar for when MLS should start. Then you fit in the national team tournaments, like the confederational tournaments, like obviously U.S. Open Cup coming in. No, I don't put in Superliga. I'm afraid I'm not a fan of Superliga. But Daniel, what if the Red Bulls get into Superliga? Well, then I'm going to have to follow it. Then I have no choice but to follow it, and I'm going to have to go ahead and do it. But still, I still believe that hopefully Superliga will not interfere with the MLS regular season anymore. I really believe that it should not be allowed anymore. I believe the Mexican clubs in the first division down in Mexico, you know, I just don't think they take it that seriously anymore. I don't think it's it's an important thing for them. I mean, $1 million is $1 million, but I still feel that $1 million should be added to the champion of the U.S. Open Cup. And I think the U.S. Open Cup is a little more important than what the Superliga is about. But once again, this is my opinion. But going back to the promotion relegation argument for a second, you know, certain people believe that MLS would benefit from promotion relegation right now, implemented next year. You just throw it in, do it, and that's it. It, you know, it'll work. It will definitely work. And, you know, calling Major League Soccer a bunch of discounted chain of soccer clubs or soccer shops because it's a closed league and it doesn't have promotion relegation, I think that's very unfair. I think that's not right because, you know, we're still trying to grow this sport. And if you put in promotion relegation right now into U.S. soccer as a whole on the club scene, Major League Soccer clubs, I think, can survive. But the problem is the lower clubs won't if there is promotion relegation. But at the same time, right now, there is too many things that needs to happen to make it work. And still, if you just throw it in there, you're going to see clubs like Harrisburg, possibly Real Maryland, Richmond in Division III probably just fall off and die. And if only the strong clubs survive, then you know what's going to happen. Then guess what? You're going to have clubs stay in Major League Soccer, and then the rest of them are going to be in the PDL amateur side. And they only play 3 or 4 months out of the year. They don't go directly from March to October. There have been hurdles that are cleared. Hurdles have been cleared. Not enough of them at the moment to have promotion and relegation come into U.S. club soccer. And yes, our leagues must remain closed for the time being. Closed leagues in this country has to remain for the time being, because I truly do not feel that at the moment, if you do it next year or within 5 or 10 years, that it's going to make things different and better. Do I think people understand it? Yes. I think people have a good understanding about promotion and relegation. Yes, I really believe we do. The ones who don't follow the sport, do they have an idea? If you explain it to them correctly, I truly believe they will understand it. I truly believe they will understand what's going on. But at the moment, it cannot be added. At the moment, it's not possible. And of course, there will probably be those that are going to say, well, you're scared. You don't know what you're talking about. It works well in industrial countries that have these. So why is it that all we're taking care of are these, minor league soccer that you keep hearing about? Why is it you would rather expand a KFC chain or a McDonald's chain for your American soccer leagues? That's to say. And I'm sorry to say it, it's very harsh. I mean, I don't mind a good argument. I don't mind a good discussion about the situation. I understand some of you have your beliefs of why it should be implemented. And at the same time, you're saying, or certain people have said, well, I like the way that the USL financial structure over the MLS single entity. And that may be true, but you have to peel through the layers to understand why, at the moment, the single entity is doing well. Now, let me say right off the bat that I am not in favor of single entity. I don't want it anymore. But is it needed right now? Then the answer is yes. We have to survive through a good long period of time, and I'm hoping it won't be too long. Do we want the individual clubs to be allowed to spend their own hard-earned money to bring in the players that they want to make their clubs better? And you know what? Sooner, hopefully, rather than later, that does happen. We should not be in a rush to change everything to allow what goes on in Europe or anywhere else in the world. I'm not saying no forever. I'm just saying no right now. And we have to say no at this moment. I pay attention to what people are discussing. I pay attention to what is going on. I'm trying not to fly off the handle, and I'm not trying to say, you're wrong, you're completely wrong, I don't believe what you're saying is going to be true. We have to switch it now. It will make us better and stronger. And here's the problem. How is it that you're going to have someone, like, throwing it out there, Real Maryland, who plays at the Boyd's Soccer Park, and A, they don't even own the darn place, and B, there's no professional, not even professionals, not even a real soccer stadium there. Together. Or if you ever went to Harrisburg, where I did, and no offense to my friends in Harrisburg, obviously, because that field is not in good shape. There's not enough money to make that field better. There's only been maybe 4 to 7 to 8 stands. The other ones that are along the far side. And I love Harrisburg, the city. It's a nice city. I enjoyed my time being there. And I think, you know, you've heard Brian Kaiser, who's been on the show, discuss it. You know, they got some money being the lower level side to go further in the Open Cup than anyone else, because Charleston went to penalties and that was considered a tie against Chicago when the City Islanders defeated Red Bulls in extra time. They got their goal in extra time. We wonderful clubs, whether it be in Major League Soccer, Second Division, or Third Division, even PDL, to survive. It has to happen. What should not happen is a rush to make these changes. I'm not going to say it's radical, because it's not. It's not radical at all. These changes have to happen slowly, and at the moment, I think Major League Soccer has done a very good job, even though they probably went into the DP rule, the designated player rule, the Beckham rule, because of David Beckham coming over. But sooner or later, these progressions have to happen. These progressions to make Major League Soccer and our leagues into what it should be has to happen. And if it doesn't happen, then you know what? That's fine. But still, the idea is to attract the top players that do play in Europe to come over and be a part of Major League Soccer. And so far, David Beckham, Juan Pablo Angel, Rafa Marquez, Thierry Henry, Giovanni, Neri Castillo, Freddy Ljungberg. Those are the type of players that wanted to come here and give it a chance, give it a shot. And you know what? So far, they've done a pretty good job at the moment. Obviously, there have been some DPs that haven't been exciting, or at the same time, they haven't panned out. But you know what? That's what the DP rule is. It's a hit or miss thing. But I still have to say, you know, talking about this subject, and it really doesn't bother me to talk about this subject, because you know why? It's an interesting argument. And I'm not opposed to it. One day, these things can happen. One day things will change, and hopefully Major League Soccer, U.S. Soccer Federation, and the NASL, along with the USL, they come together and they decide to do this. I still think it's a fantastic thing. But once again, and I keep saying this, the Charlotte Eagles of USL Second Division, they play on a high school field. You get promoted to Major League Soccer, you can't play on a high school field. You have to play at the home of the Carolina Panthers. Then you're going to have to pay rent, which would be an extraordinary amount. You're going to have to play don't even worry about the certain amount of games being played once you go from third division to second and from second to first. Don't worry about that. That is not the problem. The problem is what happens if whatever money they earn is not enough to keep them around. Because if they get relegated, the high school field, if they can't, probably won't happen. the high school will probably be demanding more money because they're waiting for them to see they're going to go back to first division. And this is the thing you're going to have to understand. Carolina Panthers, who own that stadium, or if it's the Charlotte Sports Authority, which I'm only guessing, I don't know what the situation is down with Charlotte and with the Carolina Panthers, but whoever runs the stadium, you know, they want their cut of the pie. And what happened at the Meadowlands was simple. Back then, when it was the Metro Stars, now the Red Bulls, the Meadowlands would allow the club, you would get the ticket earned for sales. Metro Stars and Red Bulls did not get a single penny out of the parking, out of the food, or drink, or merchandise sales. Everything went to the Meadowlands, the New Jersey Sports and Exposition Authority. The only thing they earned were ticket sales. That's it. And, you know, now that they have Red Bull Arena, they earn everything. The tickets, the food, merchandise. That's it. I'm assuming they get a cut out of the parking situation. And, of course, that's only maybe like one or two garage, one lot and a garage at the moment that's near them. But still, you know, they get money when they sell merchandise, sell food, sell beer, sell the tickets, and of course, whatever the Red Bulls pub, the corner pub that's in the luxury box building where their locker rooms are. You know, you say it can happen, promotion, relegation. Right now it can't happen. What's going to have to happen is that, and I've been thinking about this, and if my friend Derek Maluzio from PennLive.com, if he's listening to the show, of course, Brian Kaiser, also from Harrisburg, you know, I had this idea that if I was able to help out Harrisburg, and yes, probably Christian Dyer is listening to the show, and my friend Alex Lobato. Yes, I am talking about Harrisburg. I mean, I can find a way to, you know, if you find out how much it's going to cost, probably be a good amount. But this is what I would do if I was helping out Harrisburg City Islanders and fixing their stadium situation or the way it looks. I would basically do this. I would create two stands over there. Probably make it 10, 11, 12 rows, I'm assuming. What I would do is you make the stands and you make it big enough where, A, you can make a locker room for Harrisburg, built with the showers and the coach for his little office. And then on the other side of the long end stands, probably a referee's room, if you want to do that, and make it long enough so people, they don't have to like walk around the stands. What I would probably do is I would probably make stairs so they can enter through the back and have a nice little wide open area where they could probably have a food stand or a merchandise stand, a drink stand, or an ice cream stand, and have the people just, you know, walk up and down there. And then what I would do is, on the end, behind one of the goals, you do, again, stands, but what you would do is you would make that into a visitor's locker room underneath. I mean, it's the same concept. You don't have to make it a double deck. You don't have to do that. You could price them moderately, and you know what? Honestly, you could price it moderately, make it $15, $20 a ticket if you want, or $25 a ticket, and maybe 10, 15 rows, however you want to do it. But I think that could work. Make it long enough and big enough so, A, you can put locker rooms in there, and of course, you can have a walkway to the field, and you can have the benches there as well, fix up the field, because originally that was the softball field, and they had to finally fill in the dirt area to play their games, Harrisburg. So there, we'll see what. Can't see what happens there because, you know, they're something like that. But if I did have the money, I would definitely do that for Harrisburg because, you know, I think they can actually, you know, do something like that. I mean, obviously it sounds simple, but you never know. It all depends on how you make the construction work, how you do this and how you do that. But once again, just not feasible at this time. You can't force it at this time. Leagues at the moment have to be closed right now. You're going to have to go and do U.S. Open Cup where MLS sides meet lower level division sides. And once again, there has to be more emphasis given to MLS sides, or I should say, more emphasis given to the U.S. Open Cup tournament than the Superliga, because U.S. Open Cup is important. I think it's a fabulous thing to see a lower division side get their chance to take on the big boys. You know, you do that with the FA Cup, German Cup, Coupe de France, Copa del Rey, Copa Italia, Scottish FA Cup, and everything else that's going on. If you need an update for Toronto and Arabe Unido, once again, it's still 1-0 for Arabe Unido from Panama. Toronto FC trying to get some calls taken down by the defense. By the time Unido goes down, they're getting the call. So we'll see what's going to happen towards the end of the match. Right now, it's in the 84th minute. Arabe Unido is getting, believe it's going to be a corner. Yep, it's going to be a corner for Arabe Unido here. The camera coverage is just not that great by CONCACAF. But Arabe Unido taking their corner from the near side, headed towards goal, headed away by the defense of Toronto, and another corner kick coming up on the far side. Here's the thing that I find hilarious. I know CONCACAF has their partners on their signboards right now, but I didn't know they allowed the GoUSABid.com ad sign there as well. I guess CONCACAF is being supportive of the United States' attempt to bring the World Cup over either in 2018 or 2022. Here's another corner for Unido. It's been cleared. Another long shot that's been cleared. 85th minute. Unido with the ball. They're on the far side. Header! Grabbed by Stefan Fry. Here's a long ball, and shot wide by Dwayne De Rosario, but they're saying it was a deflection by a defender. Corner coming up for Toronto FC. And it's in the 86th minute. It should be fun, should be entertaining. See what's going to happen here. I'm sorry, it's not Stefan Fry who was in goal for Toronto. It is Milos Kokic for Toronto FC. That's a little weird. I guess Fry is not a for Toronto tonight. But we'll see what's going to happen here. And corner was kicked away. It's a throw-in for Toronto, 87th minute. Cross blocked off the head of a Arabe Unido player, another throw-in for Toronto FC. So CONCACAF Champions League, don't forget tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern. Columbus Crew taking on Santos Laguna. Couple of saves by the keeper for Unido. Off Toronto FC. They can't get it in. And they're going to get another yellow card, Toronto FC, on a supposed foul. And once again, they're saying it was intentional. It should be a red. It is on Fuad Ibrahim. Just what was a yellow just became a red card. Fuad Ibrahim just, I guess he changed his mind. Let's see what happened here. Bicycle kick attempt by Dwayne De Rosario. No go. Fuad Ibrahim with a shot. Save. Another shot by De Rosario is a save. And he got the ball. And, you know, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Actually, it was Julian de Guzman, not Fuad Ibrahim. But Julian de Guzman just got... No, it was Ibrahim. They got it wrong. Fuad Ibrahim with a red card. I mean, you know, you're going after the ball. I mean, you got to give him the opportunity to go after the ball. And, I mean, that challenge wasn't that bad either. I don't know. It looks like all the diving, all the flopping, you feel a little touch to the back of your leg, and you go down like that, and you guess you're going to get red cards. So at the moment, Toronto FC down to 9 men. Toronto FC not looking pretty good at the moment. Toronto FC definitely, I mean, I don't know how they're going to get back into this match, but I'm telling you right now, guys. I mean, it's just absolutely a crime. It's absolutely a shame that Toronto FC is... Another player goes down. Another player goes down for Unido. I mean, come on! I mean, what happened here? You're going to... All right, fine. He got whacked by Gargan. That deserves at least a yellow card. Okay? Dan Gargan, he got the guy hard smack with his right boot into his chest. Fine. I'll let that one go. But for God's sakes, I mean, for jeez. How many times is Unido going to probably, like, fall down and pretend that they got hurt? And that's what happens. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable when these referees just allow all this diving and all this fake stuff to happen. I understand it's a man's game, but for God's sakes, how about standing up like a man and take it? I'll tell you this much, ladies and gentlemen. This is what you have to expect when you leave the U.S. Plenty of these shenanigans going on. But I have to say, that's how it goes sometimes. It's not the best of stuff. And we are into stoppage time. How many I did not see at the moment. But currently the first minute of stoppage time is on. The only way for Toronto FC to get some form of revenge is if they can get that late goal and make it. And unfortunately, this is what teams like Arabi Unido do. They're going to try and milk the clock as much as possible. They're going to try and keep this lead. But still, I mean, I find it really troublesome when you see a team like Arabi Unido just basically fall all over the place and act like they've been killed, they've been shot. I mean, it's just terrible. When does CONCACAF and even FIFA crack down on them? And here it comes. Placed in. Great save by Kokic. It looked like nail in the coffin. But he made a good there to keep the score at a goal deficit for Toronto. What happened there? Wow. I don't know what happened with the man that went down, but we're in 3 minutes of stoppage time. I don't know if it was given 4 minutes. I'm assuming he's asking for the ball. He's going to drop it. Fair play on the near side. And now Toronto FC is going to try and see if they can go ahead and push for that equalizer if it's possible. But I have to tell you guys, it's just been one of those matches down in Toronto. Actually, for Toronto or for any, you're going to get one of those teams. They're going to try and to milk the clock as much as possible. And don't forget now, Toronto is down to two men. And we'll see if they're going to keep on going and attacking, if they can try and get that big road point if they can. Fourth minute of stoppage time. In fact, 4 full minutes will not be played. The referee blew his whistle. It is all over. Comedy of errors down in Panama as Arabi Unido, once again, they get their goal. Once again, they flop around religiously to try to get calls. Toronto FC will be without two men as they have been suspended on straight red cards in Nick LaBroca and Fuad Ibrahim. They will not be involved in the next Champions League match. And that next match will be on Wednesday, September 15th, Real Salt Lake hosting Toronto FC. That should be interesting. But don't forget again, tonight, 10 o'clock, in about 2 or 3 minutes, Columbus Crew will be at Santos Laguna. That should be fun. That should be a fun match. And hopefully it's going to be a good time. Blake Compton, obviously, good luck with you and your crew supporters for tonight's CONCACAF Champions League match down in Mexico against Santos Laguna. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say that Red Bulls are going to have themselves a tough match this coming Saturday. San Jose is coming in. Not really a decent road record, but you know what? When you bring in a player like Giovanni from Hull, that can change very quickly. We'll see what happens if he can mesh with his teammates when they head over to Red Bull Arena this coming Saturday. Locally on MSG Network, 7:30 p.m. if you can't get to Red Bull Arena, but please get to Red Bull Arena. It's a fun time. It's a great place to be. And I really, really hope you get your chances to go over. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say it's been a fun 2 hours once again. I want to thank my guests, Blake Compton, Hudson Street Hooligans, and, of course, MLS Soccer's Christian Dyer, for coming on the show. or if you're not able to come on the show, at least spending a couple of minutes with me and just giving me your thoughts about the game here in the United States. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Please don't forget the MLS Talk and EPL Talk podcasts hosted Farley. And please check me out at MajorLeagueSoccerTalk.com. I'm Daniel Feuerstein, and please enjoy your football. Thank you.